Hebrews, rather, chapter number 10, verse number 38, reading one verse. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Present tense, the just. Those that are justified by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be just means not to be perfect necessarily in the eyes of men, but it means to be just as if you'd never sinned. It means to be in a redeemed or a saved condition. The justified are the righteous ones, those who have been made righteous by their faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a just person, according to the manner in which the word is used here, is to be a saved person, to be a born-again person, to be a Christian. To be a Christian in experience and testimony, not just in name. To be a Christian in manner of life and a manner of day-by-day experience, not just in name. The just, those that belong to God by faith in Jesus Christ, are to not only become just by faith, but they are to live by faith. If you are a Christian, in the way that I have just described it, you have been saved. Your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been bought and paid for by Him. You know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. You have an absolute assurance, and by the way, you can have an absolute assurance, I mean. You should have an absolute assurance. If you don't, something's missing in your experience. There shouldn't be any doubt about that. There shouldn't be any question about that. If you're in that condition, if you're that kind of a Christian, in other words, a real Christian, you know that a high percentage of those who call themselves Christians are not. You knew that, didn't you? It's most unfortunate, but that's the way it is. If you're a true Christian, according to the Bible, you are going to live by faith. Now, I'm going to show you tonight that as a Christian, you're going to live by faith whether you want to or not. God said the just, not should, not ought to, He said shall. Now, shall is one of the most powerful and authoritative and strong words in all of the Scripture. It's extremely definite. I like that God has written His word that way. Definite and specific and not wishy-washy. He said the just shall live by faith. All Christians are going to live their life by faith. And He goes on to say in that 38th verse that if any man should draw back, in other words, if someone should draw away from a faith life, if someone should draw back and stop believing what he once believed, the word of God, He said, my soul, God speaking, shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, I will be displeased. I will be most unhappy. I will not be rejoicing over a Christian who refuses to live by faith. If a man draw back from his faith life, he got saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that it's through the grace of God by our faith that we're saved and not of works, not of ourselves. We were saved by faith. He said through Paul, if a man draws back from that kind of testimony and that kind of an experience and refuses to live continually by faith, but rather resorts to living by his senses and living according to his understanding and living according to his knowledge and living according to his work and living according to what he can see, the Lord says, that's drawing back from me, and my soul, the soul of God, will have no pleasure in him. You will not hear God singing over someone who is not living by faith. You will not sense a rejoicing in the heart of God over your life and your experience and your testimony if you refuse to live by faith. For clearly, if you're a Christian, His will for you and for me is that we should live by faith and not any other way. Now, Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. If you're reading in a Bible like mine, you just drop down the column about half a dozen verses. And you will find in the sixth verse of this 11th chapter, which is, I call it God's Hall of Fame or God's Hall of Faith. Throughout this chapter, he gives testimony concerning his great men of faith, those who believed him and accomplished great works and miracles and wonders. Verse 6 is very insightful, and I'm sure you've heard it before. But in the context we're studying tonight, listen to the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Key word there is believe. It doesn't say anything about knowing. It doesn't say anything about understanding. It talks about believing. And for a person to be pleasing in the sight of God, he must be a person of faith. For without faith, it's impossible to live a life that pleases God. Works apart from faith will not please God. Understanding apart from faith will not please God. Knowledge apart from faith will not please God. And get this one. Possession apart from faith will not please God. God is not pleased with our knowledge. He's not pleased with our understanding. He's not pleased with our works. He's not even primarily pleased with our possessing, even that which he's promised. That which pleases him most is our believing it. Are you listening to me? There's a very critical thing here I think we need to see as Christians. All of us are to live a life motivated by faith and filled with faith, and that's how we live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, if that's true, then what is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Jump right in the middle of the two verses that we just read. Now, faith is. Now, we're likely to get an answer to the question, what is faith, aren't we? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things that we are hoping for. It is the evidence or the testimony of the things that are not seen. Now, faith is believing and acting upon, according to what James tells us in his letter, what we cannot see and what we are only hoping for. Faith is basing our life and our life's decisions on things that we cannot experience sensually and things that we cannot have knowledge of through the five senses, touch, taste, smell, hear, see, and so on. Faith is the quality of life that is based upon believing something that you cannot see. And Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing God's word. If we put Hebrews 11:1 and Romans 10:17 together, we can define faith simply as this: believing and acting upon what God said in his word, even though we cannot see it. Let me say that again. Faith is believing and acting upon what God said in his word without being able to see it. Now, let me make this statement. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. If it is true that all those that are just are going to live by faith, definitely shall live by faith. If faith is the evidence of what we can't see and the substance of what we are only hoping for, then that tells me as a Christian, I am a Christian, by the way, I'm a professing Christian, and that tells me that my life is going to be one series or a series of one faith experience after another. Amen. that I'm going to be believing this promise of God, but as soon as I have possession of that, I'm going to be walking in faith on something else. You see, the just do not live by possession. The just are to live their life by faith. Now, as long as you are breathing and living, what will constitute the nature of your life? As long as we are here upon this earth, we are going to be having one faith experience after the other. That thing especially that you are believing God for right now, don't let go of that. Continue to believe God for it, but don't expect that once you get that, that's the end of your faith life. That's just one experience in a series. If you're not believing God for this, you're going to believe God for something else. If you're here tonight, you've been believing God for healing in your body. Let's just take that as an example. You've been believing the Lord for healing in your body, and it's something that is consuming your spiritual attention. It hurts you, and you have a need from God, and you've been feeding your faith, and you're believing. Your faith is the evidence of what you can't see. You can't see health in that area of your body, but your faith is the evidence of what you can't see, and you're believing God, and you think, by glory, if I'll just get this healing and get possession of it, and then I'll have to stop fighting this faith fight. No, you won't. You're shaking your head, sister. You've been there, haven't you? No, you won't. There'll be something else you're believing God for. If you're here tonight, you're born again, but you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know that that's for you, and God wants you to have it, but you don't quite understand what's going on there, and you're believing that God's going to fill you with the Spirit, He's going to give you more power, He's going to give you glorious heavenly language, and so on, and you're believing Him for that, and you figure that by the time that you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, that will be the end of this faith struggle, you've got another thing coming. You're just learning how to believe for the next toughie. About the time your husband gets saved or your wife gets saved, and you've been believing God and you've been interceding and you've had your faith on the line and you've been fighting the faith fight, and all of a sudden your husband gets gloriously saved or your wife gets gloriously saved and everything is fine, and you think, boy, you breathe this sigh of relief. And then here's a new confrontation in your life. Always, always. You should not, after tonight, be surprised at that. If the just are going to live by faith, how are you going to live if you possess everything? How are you going to live if you understand everything? How are you going to live if you know everything? Not according to the Word. If you live 20 more years or 80 more years, you're going to live that time faith in faith. You're going to live that period of time believing what God said without being able to see. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to see to it that you live that way. Now, He's not withholding His promises from you. Please don't misunderstand that. He's not withholding His promises from you. He's got more promises than you could believe Him for in 100 lifetimes. We had people in the Bible here lived almost 1,000 years. They didn't run out of the promises of God, and that's before God spoke as much as He did. I mean, here. And so, you see what I'm saying? It would be impossible for you, no matter how long you live, to ever run out of the promises of God. So don't you misunderstand what I'm saying. Well, God is withholding this blessing from me because He wants me to walk in faith. No, He wants to give it to you by your faith. You see, all of God's blessings come by the grace of God, or through the grace of God, by our faith. They are given to us because He's a gracious and compassionate and wonderful God, and they become ours by appropriation through faith, the same as your salvation is. You got saved not because all of a sudden one day God wanted to save you. You got saved because 2,000 years ago Jesus paid the price for your sins, and all of a sudden you found out about it and chose to believe it, and you received that salvation. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Did your Bible say that? Amen. 2 Corinthians 6 chapter. All right, all of God's promises are the same way. His arm is not short that it can't save. His arm is not short that it can't heal. His arm is not short that it can't bless. Sometimes our faith is a little short that it can't receive. And that's a major problem that we have. But don't you ever get this idea that God is withholding from you in order because he doesn't have anything else for you to walk by faith on, and he wants to use this for as long as he can until he can think up something else to... I mean, that's human mentality, you say. I mean, that's just stupid, isn't it? That's just stupid. I don't want you to think that, but someone will come up with that idea. That's not the way it is. God wants to answer your prayer. He wants to give to you sight for that which is presently unseen. If you're here tonight and you need something from God and you've been believing God for it, then expect to receive it tonight. But expect also to go out the door believing him for something else. That's the way it works. It's not going to change. I think sometimes Christians are looking for a point in their Christian life where they'll get on easy street. And they figure, well, if I can just get over this mountain here, if I can just believe my way to get this mountain either moved or get up over it, that, well, I'll just coast the rest of the way in. You're not going to coast. Yeah, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to get stronger and 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 stronger in believing God. And you're going to be believing him for more and bigger and more significant, more impossible kinds of things. And you might ask the question, why is God doing this to me? Why is he doing this in my life? Why doesn't he just do everything for me and just provide for me and not put me through these faith struggles? Well, the reason is an obvious one. We're not going to talk about it at great length, but God wants us to grow up. We're going to rule and reign with him forever. And what is going to be the law in that day? What's going to be the law? Word of God. This is going to be the law. This is going to be the law. This word, you see, is going to be forever. It's forever settled in heaven right now. It's the law which all of the world and all of life is going to be judged by. God wants us to learn to live by this. When the Lord created everything out of nothing, how did he do it? He spoke his word and he believed it into existence. Don't we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of God? Faith is a fundamental principle of the kingdom of God. It's the only way that you get things done in the Spirit. And it's not going to change, you see, when we sit on the throne with him and rule and reign with him. We've got to learn how to work that. It's a system, you see, that we've got to learn how to function in. Now, let me show you how important. This really touched me in a special way. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 15. I want you to see how absolutely important faith is to God and why he rewards faith in such magnificent ways. We saw in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. Now we're going to see how God considers faith, how important it is. Verse number 5 and 6. God is speaking here with Abraham. Abraham is concerned about the promise of God that he was going to have seed. And he, God, brought him, Abraham, forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now here is the word of God. Abraham has no children. His wife especially is past time to be able to have children. And God says that you're going to have descendants that are greater in number than the stars in the sky. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now listen, God wants so much to be believed and trusted that he will count faith for righteousness to anyone who will believe. Faith is so important to God that he will replace a man's sin with cleanliness. Faith is so important to God, he wants so much to be believed and trusted, that he will replace a man's sickness with health. Are you listening to me? Faith is so important to God. It is so terribly important in His scheme of things. He wants so desperately to be believed and trusted that He will give liberty to someone that's bound in exchange for his faith. Do you understand this? I want everybody to get this. Faith, you see, the Bible tells us in 1 John, faith is the victory that causes us to overcome the world. This is the reason for it. God established it way back here with Abraham. Abraham had absolutely no way to bring this promise to pass. Abraham had nothing going for him except one thing, and that was, in this sixth verse, we're told, he believed God. He had faith, which is the evidence of what he couldn't see. God made him a promise. He said, I believe that. God said, I am so pleased by your faith that I make you righteous. Now get a hold of that. Get a hold of the importance of this transaction. It's so important to me, Abraham, that you'd simply believe my word, even though it's impossible. But the fact that you would believe it causes me to make you righteous. Forgive your sins, like it never happened. If you're sick tonight, if you have sickness in your body, if you will simply believe what God said, believe Matthew 8:17, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Believe 1 Peter 2:24, for by His stripes ye are healed. Believe any of the scriptures that you've heard us teach on the subject of healing. Believe any of them that promise healing to you, and God will exchange for your faith health. He will give you in exchange for your faith health. Faith is the key to obtaining all or any of the promises of God. And it's like an exchange. The Lord will take your faith. You don't need your faith anymore. He will take your faith and He will give you what you're believing for. It's like this. Take your faith in the one hand and give you your answer in the other. You don't need your faith anymore because now you have the seen, don't you? Faith is the evidence of what you can't see. And once you have the seen, you don't need your faith anymore. Take your faith, you see. And it's like an exchange. And that's the only way I know how to explain it to you. That's the best way I know how to understand it. Now let's go over to the book of Romans, the fourth chapter. Now some would say, some who are perhaps unschooled in this matter of faith and unskilled in the word of righteousness, they would say, well, now that's not fair of God. He shouldn't really require us to believe when it's so impossible. Actually, though, God has made the way easy for us. What could you do to pay the price for your sins? If the Lord had not made a way through faith, what could you do?
Go to hell.
There's no way you can pay the price. Over in Micah, God said, would a man give the fruit of his body in exchange for his soul? Would a man take his own child and give, you know, they do that with some of the gods. They make human sacrifice. They give their children to the god in order to appease the idol so that their sins won't come crashing down around them. That's what that's all about. God said, would a man give to me his child as a sacrifice for his sins? You don't have anything. We don't have anything that would be an adequate exchange. And if the Lord had not made this way through faith, there'd be no way. How could you, what do you have that you could trade God for health in your body? What do you have? What do you have that He would want?
Faith.
That's all. That's all. You only have one thing. And if you hadn't made that way, would there be any other way? There wouldn't be. Faith is the matter of faith and the principle of faith and living by faith is an expression or a manifestation of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the compassion of God, because He's made a way where there was no way. Do you see that? Some of you are seeing it. I'm not sure that all of you are seeing it. Some of you are seeing it. Praise God for that. And so He says, come to me with your faith and just give your faith to me and I will give you what you're believing for. Romans 4, the first few verses. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? In other words, Abraham, the father of our faith, according to our natural flesh, the father of the Jewish nation, what did he discover concerning this matter of faith? What was his experience? For if Abraham were justified or made just, we're talking about how the just are supposed to live, right? If Abraham had been made just by works, by his good deeds and by his clean life and all of that, and by his personal sacrifice, then he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. In other words, he could boast in his own efforts. For what saith the Scripture? We just read it a little bit earlier. Abraham believed God, and it, what? His believing, his faith, was counted unto him for righteousness. God saw his faith and exchanged that for right standing. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you could earn your salvation, then you're owed it. In other words, it's a debt that God would owe you, and he'd have to pay it off. It wouldn't be coming by grace. But to him that worketh not, verse 5, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Not only to Abraham, you see, this is to everybody. This is an all-inclusive truth. What can you give for your salvation? Nothing. What can you give for your healing? Nothing. What can you give for deliverance from your mind, from the problems that you have in your mind? Nothing. What can you give for the salvation of your loved ones? Nothing. What can you give for comfort? Nothing. You don't have it to give. But God has made a way. And his way is faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And we might say in here, blessed is the man whom the Lord healeth. Blessed is the man whom the Lord prospereth. Blessed is the man whom the Lord delivereth. Blessed is the man whom the Lord comforteth. Whatever it is that you have need of from the Lord, there's only one way to get it, and that is by faith. And this is precisely why Satan attacks your faith. Those things that come against you are not meant to destroy you, they're meant to destroy your faith. If they destroy your faith, they do destroy you. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, fight the good fight of faith. If the devil can destroy your faith, if he can get you to stop believing, he can set you in opposition to God. He can set you contrary to the ways of God. And he can steal the promise that God has made you. He can even steal your righteousness. Did you know that? If you stop believing that Jesus died for your sins, if you stop desiring to have the salvation of God, if you say to Jesus, get off my back, I don't want you in my life, leave me alone, just be gone, and people do this, people will do it. Some of you have heard, perhaps some of you have been there in times past. Your loved one dies, someone you were very close to, your husband divorces you, your little baby dies, your child runs in front of a car and gets run over, the devil tells you God did it, and you tell God, get out of my life, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. And you walk away from faith, you are no longer just. Are you listening to me? Now, many people do not know this because of some bad teaching that is going around. Satan is attacking the faith of believers because it's God's will that the just live by faith. Now turn with me, please, to Jude, book of Jude. Just one little verse, but oh, what a beautiful one. I like this. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jesus is able to keep us from falling. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. He's able to keep us from falling into unbelief and falling into doubt. He's able to keep us if we want to be kept. He's able to keep us believing and keep us walking and living and acting in faith, and keep us pleasing God.
For He is Lord. He is Lord. And He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord.